Chapter 63. Heating and Air Conditioning Components and Operation. Purpose and Function. Driver and passenger comfort is the primary purpose of the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system, often abbreviated HVAC. The heater is also needed in cold climates to prevent freezing or death. Principles involved. On Earth, matter is found in one of three different phases or states: solid, liquid, or vapor, or gas. The state depends upon the nature of the substance, the temperature, and the pressure or force exerted on it. Water occurs naturally in all three states: solid ice, liquid water, and water vapor, depending upon the temperature and pressure of the location. See Figure 63-1. Changes of state. A solid is a substance that cannot be compressed and has strong resistance to flow. The molecules of a solid attract each other strongly and resist changes in volume and shape. A substance is solid at any temperature below its melting point. A melting point is a characteristic of a substance and is related to the temperature at which a solid turned to a liquid. For water, the melting point is 32 degrees Fahrenheit, or 0 degrees Celsius, which means that we can observe changes between liquid water and ice under normal weather conditions. A liquid is a substance that cannot be compressed. A substance in a liquid state has a fixed volume, but no definite shape. The boiling point is the temperature at which a liquid substance turns to a vapor. For water at normal sea level conditions, the boiling point is 212 degrees Fahrenheit, or 100 degrees Celsius. A vapor is a substance that can be easily compressed, has no resistance to flow, and no fixed volume. Since a vapor flows, it is considered a fluid, just like liquids are. A substance changes to a vapor if the temperature rises above its boiling point. A vapor condenses to liquid if the temperature falls below it. Just like melting and freezing, the boiling point and condensation point are the same temperature. Again, the difference is simply whether heat is being added or taken away. Boiling point and condensation point temperatures are not fixed, they vary with pressure. Refer to Figure 63-1. Water is a substance that can be found naturally in solid, liquid, and vapor states. Frequently asked question. Why is liquid sprayed from a can cold? If you spray a can of liquid continuously, the can becomes cold, and the liquid being sprayed becomes cold. The can becomes cold because the pressure in the can is reduced while spraying, allowing the liquid propellant inside the can to boil and absorb heat. The liquid being sprayed has also been cooled by the liquid propellant. The propellant vapor is further cooled as it decompresses when it hits the open air. Rapid decompression results in a rapid temperature drop. Heat and temperature. Molecules in a substance tend to vibrate rapidly in all directions, and this disorganized energy is called heat. The intensity of vibration depends on how much kinetic energy, or energy of motion, the atom or molecule contains. We measure the level of this energy as temperature. Heat and temperature are not the same. Temperature is measured in degrees. Heat is measured in calories. The calorie is a metric unit that expresses the amount of heat needed to raise the temperature of 1 gram of water 1 degree Celsius. Heat is also measured in British thermal units, abbreviated BTU. 1 BTU is the heat required to raise the temperature of 1 pound of water 1 degree Fahrenheit at sea level. 1 BTU equals 252 calories. Refer to Figure 63-2. The extra heat required to change a standard amount of water at its boiling point to a vapor is called latent heat of vaporization. Refer to Figure 63-3. The latent heat of vaporization that water vapor stores is given off when the vapor condenses to a liquid. The temperature stays the same. Latent heat. Latent heat is the extra heat that is needed to transform a substance from one state to another. Imagine that a solid or a liquid is being heated on a stove. When the solid reaches its melting point, or the liquid reaches its boiling point, their temperatures stop rising. The solid begins to melt, and the liquid begins to boil. This occurs without any change in temperature, even though heat is still being poured in from the burner. The water in the container on the stove boils at a temperature of 212 degrees Fahrenheit, or 100 degrees Celsius, at sea level, for as long as any liquid water remains. As you continue to add heat with the burner, it is all absorbed in changing the state of the liquid to a vapor. This extra, hidden amount of energy necessary to change the state of a substance is called latent heat. See Figures 63-2 and 63-3. Latent heat is important in air conditioning system operation because the cooling effect is derived from changing the state of liquid refrigerant to a vapor. The refrigerant absorbs latent heat of vaporization, cooling the air blown into the passenger compartment. Heat is taken away to cool the air. Temperature, volume, and pressure of a vapor. Unlike a solid, a vapor has no fixed volume. Increasing the temperature of a vapor, while keeping the volume confined in the same space, increases the pressure. This happens as the vibrating vapor molecules collide more and more energetically with the walls of the container. Conversely, decreasing the temperature decreases the pressure. This relationship between temperature and pressure in vapor is why a can of non-flammable refrigerant can explode when heated by a flame. The pressure buildup inside the can eventually exceeds the can's ability to contain the pressure. Increasing the pressure by compressing the vapor increases the temperature. Decreasing the pressure by permitting the vapor to expand decreases the temperature. Pressure-temperature relationships. There are two aspects of the relationship between pressure and temperature that are important to understanding the operating of an HVAC system. Number 1. The temperature at which a liquid boils, and vapor condenses, as it rises and falls with the pressure. And Number 2. Pressure in a sealed system that contains both liquid and vapor rises and falls with the temperature. Humidity. Water vapor is in the air in varying concentrations. Humidity refers to water vapor present in the air. The level of humidity depends upon the amount of water vapor present and the temperature of the air. The amount of water vapor in the air tends to be higher near lakes or the ocean, because more water is available to evaporate from their surfaces. In desert areas with little open water, the amount of water vapor in the air tends to be low. Absolute humidity is the measurement of the weight of the water vapor in a given volume of air. Relative humidity is the percentage of how much moisture is present in the air compared to how much moisture the air is capable of holding at that temperature. Relative humidity is commonly measured with a hygrometer or a psychrometer. A hygrometer depends on a sensitive element that expands and contracts, based on the humidity. Hygrometers typically resemble a clock, with the scale reading from 0% to 100% relative humidity. Permanent recording hygrometers may be constructed so that an ink pen or electric stylus makes a continuous record on a rotating paper disc or paper cover drum. A psychrometer uses two thermometers, one of which has the bulb covered in a cotton wick soaked in distilled water from a built-in reservoir. See Figure 63-4. The wick keeps the bulb of the wet thermometer wet so that it can be cooled by evaporation. To take a relative humidity reading, the psychrometer is placed in the airflow for a certain time. As the evaporator blows air, the wet bulb's temperature drops, and the dry bulb reads the temperature of the airflow. Sling psychrometers are spun around in the air a certain number of times. Water evaporates from the cotton wick at a rate inversely proportional to the relative humidity of the air, faster if the humidity is low, and slower if the humidity is high. The dry thermometer registers ordinary air temperature. The higher the relative humidity, the closer the readings of the two thermometers, and the lower the humidity, the greater the difference. The different temperatures indicated by the wet and dry thermometers are compared to a chart, which gives the relative humidity. Refer to Figure 63-4. A sling psychrometer is used to measure relative humidity. A digital meter that reads both temperature and humidity is a low-cost tool that are usually used when servicing air conditioning systems. Heating system. Purpose and function. All automotive and light truck heater systems use the hot coolant from the engine to produce heat. The heater system is designed to provide passenger comfort and the heat needed to defrost windshield and front side windows in many vehicles. Therefore, the heating system is a major safety system in the vehicle. Parts and operation. The engine coolant, antifreeze and water, flows through heater hoses and a heater core. The engine water pump supplies the force necessary to circulate the engine coolant through the heater core. The heater core is a small radiator with tubes and fins that help transfer the heat from the coolant to the air flowing through the heater core. See Figure 63-5. A blower motor with a squirrel cage type fan is usually used to force air through the heater core and into the passenger compartment. See Figure 63-6. Before the heater can function correctly, the cooling system has to be functioning correctly. The following parts are also used to control the flow of coolant and, therefore, control the temperature of the passenger compartment. Number 1. Heater control valve. Frequently asked question. What is an auxiliary electric water pump? Some vehicles are equipped with an auxiliary electric water pump. The purpose and function of this pump is to help warm the interior of the vehicle by circulating coolant from the engine through the heater core when the engine is at idle speed. At idle speed, the water pump does not circulate a sufficient quantity of coolant through the heater core to warm the interior in freezing weather. Refer to Figure 63-5. Typical flow of air through an automotive heat, ventilation, and air conditioning system when placed in the heat position. Refer to Figure 63-6. A typical heater core is installed in an HVAC housing. Air conditioning refrigeration cycle. All automotive air conditioning systems are closed and sealed. A refrigerant is circulated through the system by a compressor that is powered by the engine through an accessory drive belt. Older systems used a refrigerant, CFC-12, commonly referred to by its DuPont trade name of Freon or R-12. Starting in the early 1990s, vehicle manufacturers now all use HFC-134A, a refrigerant that is less harmful to the atmosphere. The basic principle of the refrigeration cycle is that as a liquid changes into a gas, heat is absorbed. The heat that is absorbed by an automotive air conditioning system is the heat from inside the vehicle. This is how the system works. Number 1. The liquid refrigerant evaporates in a small radiator type unit called the evaporator. As the refrigerant evaporates, it absorbs heat as it changes from a liquid to a gas. As the heat is absorbed by the refrigerant, the evaporator becomes cold. See Figure 63-7. Number 2. After the refrigerant has evaporated into a low-pressure gas in the evaporator, the refrigerant flows into the engine-driven compressor. The compressor compresses the low-pressure refrigerant gas into a high-pressure gas and forces the refrigerant through the system. See Figure 63-8. Number 3. This high-pressure gas flows into the condenser located in front of the cooling system radiator. The condenser looks like another radiator, and its purpose and function is the same as the cooling system radiator, to remove heat from the high-pressure gas. In the condenser, the high-pressure gas changes, condenses, to form a high-pressure liquid as the heat from the refrigerant is released to the air. See Figure 63-9. Number 4. The high-pressure liquid then flows through a device that meters the flow into the evaporator. When the high pressure of the liquid drops, it causes the refrigerant to vaporize. Number 5. Air is blown through the evaporator by the blower motor. The air is cooled as heat is removed from the air and transferred to the refrigerant in the evaporator. This cooled air is then directed inside the passenger compartment through vents. Refer to Figure 63-7. The compressor provides the mechanical force needed to pressurize the refrigerant. Frequently asked question. How does the inside of the vehicle get cooled? The underlying principle involved in air conditioning or refrigeration is that cold attracts heat. Therefore, a cool evaporator attracts the hot air inside the vehicle. Heat always travels toward cold and, when the hot air passes through the cold evaporator, the heat is absorbed by the cold evaporator, which lowers the temperature of the air. The cooled air is then forced into the passenger compartment by the blower through the air conditioning vents. Refer to Figure 63-8. The evaporator removes heat from the air that enters a vehicle by transferring it to the vaporizing refrigerant. Refer to Figure 63-9. The condenser changes the refrigerant vapor into a liquid by transferring heat from the refrigerant to the airstream that flows between the condenser fins. Expansion valve systems. An expansion valve is attached to the inlet to the evaporator and controls the amount of refrigerant flow into the evaporator. The expansion valve controls the flow of the refrigerant based on the temperature at the outlet of the evaporator, which is measured by a temperature sensing bulb and tube. When the outlet of the evaporator is warm, the opening of the expansion valve is increased. This opening allows refrigerant to flow into the evaporator. As the temperature at the outlet of the evaporator decreases, the sensing bulb and tube cause the expansion valve to restrict the flow of refrigerant into the evaporator. This type of system is called the thermostatic expansion valve system, usually abbreviated TEV, or TXV. See Figure 63-10. Orifice tube systems. Many air conditioning systems today use a fixed orifice tube at the inlet to the evaporator. As refrigerant flows through this orifice, or small hole, it expands inside the evaporator, where it absorbs heat and expands into a low-pressure gas. A pressure switch located in the low-pressure line at the outlet of the evaporator senses when the pressure is too low. Too low a pressure in the evaporator can cause the temperature of the evaporator to drop to below freezing. A cold evaporator can, therefore, cause the moisture in the air to freeze into ice, creating a blockage to airflow through the evaporator. Therefore, whenever the pressure drops below a certain pressure, typically about 3 to 33 psi, or 214 to 228 kilopascals, a pressure switch breaks the circuit to the air conditioning compressor clutch, which stops the flow of refrigerant through the evaporator. Then, when the temperature and pressure increases in the evaporator, the pressure switch closes, restoring the electrical current flow to the compressor clutch and causing the compressor to start forcing refrigerant through the evaporator again. This type of system is commonly called a cycling clutch orifice tube, or CCOT, system. See Figures 63-11 and 63-12. Refer to Figure 63-10. A typical air conditioning system that uses an expansion valve. A temperature sensor bulb is attached to the outlet of the evaporator to control the amount of refrigerant allowed to flow into the evaporator. Refer to Figure 63-11. A typical automotive air conditioning system that uses a cycling clutch and an orifice tube. Refer to Figure 63-12. Typical orifice tube. Refer to Figure 63-13. A cutaway of an air conditioning compressor electromagnetic clutch. Thermostatic control. The lower the pressure of the refrigerant, the lower the temperature. If the pressure in the evaporator is above 30 psi, or 220 kilopascals, for R12, or 28 psi, or 193 kilopascals, for an R134 system, the temperature of the evaporator remains about freezing, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, or 0 degrees Celsius. Temperature control must be used to prevent the temperature of the evaporator from dropping below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, or 0 degrees Celsius. At this temperature, the moisture in the air freezes. The resulting ice clogs the airflow through the evaporator. If air cannot flow through the evaporator, the air conditioning system stops functioning and is immediately noticed by the driver and any passengers. If the AC is turned off, heat from the surrounding air melts the ice and the air conditioning system again functions until it ices up again. A commonly used method to control evaporator temperature is to use a thermostat to control the compressor. Air conditioning compressors use an electromagnetic clutch. See Figure 63-13. When the thermostat senses that the temperature is near freezing, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, or 0 degrees Celsius, the switch opens the electrical circuit to the compressor and the compressor stops circulating refrigerant. This thermostat switch is also called a thermo switch, icing switch, or defrost switch. Note, older vehicles used a system to control evaporator pressure when used with a continuously operating compressor, including PO valve, APO valve, meaning pilot operated absolute, EPR valve. An evaporator pressure regulator valve maintains at least 30 psi in the evaporator to prevent evaporator freeze up. Refer to Figure 63-14. R134A is available in 12-ounce cans, as well as larger 30-pound containers. Refrigerants. Air conditioning refrigerant is used to transfer heat from the inside of the vehicle to the condenser located in the front of the vehicle. A refrigerant absorbs heat when it changes state from a liquid to a gas. One of the first refrigerants was CFC-12, commonly referred to as R12 or by its brand name Freon, a registered trade name of the DuPont Corporation. CFC-12 consists of one carbon atom surrounded by two chlorine and two fluorine atoms and is, therefore, called a chlorofluorocarbon abbreviated, CFC, compound. Its chemical name is dichlorodifluoromethane. It is the chlorine atoms that are believed to contribute to the destroying of the ozone layer in our upper atmosphere. Another refrigerant, HFC-134A, also called R134A, has been selected by vehicle manufacturers to replace the ozone-harming CFC. HFC-134A compound contains two carbon atoms and four fluorine atoms, plus two hydrogen atoms, and is, therefore, called a hydrofluorocarbon. Its chemical name is tetrafluoroethene, and DuPont calls it SUVA. See Figure 63-14. The boiling points and, therefore, the operation characteristics of CFC-12 and HFC-134A are similar. HFC-134A is a smaller molecule than CFC-12. However, HFC-134A can more easily leak out through small holes or openings in the system. HFC-134A systems require that the inside layer of the rubber refrigerant hoses contain a barrier to prevent penetration through the microscopic holes standard rubber refrigerant holes. Note, look at the size of a blue HFC-134A 30-pound container compared to a white CFC-12, 30-pound container. The blue R134A container is larger because it requires more HFC-134A to achieve 30 pounds. Note, many vehicle manufacturers started using barrier-type refrigerant hoses on their vehicles in the late 1980s in anticipation of the conversion from CFC-12 to HFC-134A in future models. Refer to chart on page 757. CFC-12 and HFC-134A boiling temperatures at various pressures. Refrigerants and the environment. Air conditioning refrigerants have been discovered to be harmful to the ozone layer. The ozone layer is in the upper atmosphere and blocks out ultraviolet rays from the sun. See Figure 63-15. It has been discovered that certain chemicals, such as chlorofluorocarbon, are rapidly destroying this layer of ozone, which is 10 to 30 miles above Earth's surface. See Figure 63-16. For how ozone is destroyed, refer to Figure 63-15. A depletion of the ozone layer allows more ultraviolet radiation from the sun to reach Earth's surface. Montreal Protocol. A conference was held in Montreal, Canada, in 1987, where the United States and 22 other countries agreed to limit the production of ozone-depleting refrigerants. The Clean Air Act of 1990 specified that the production of R12 refrigerant ceased at the end of 1995. Section 609 of the Clean Air Act required the following. Number 1. All technicians who service or repair automotive air conditioning systems shall be properly trained and certified. Number 2. Recovery and recycling equipment must be properly approved. Number 3. Each shop that performs automotive air conditioning service should comply to the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, that it is using approved recycling equipment and that only properly trained and certified technicians are using the equipment. Refer to Figure 63-16. Chlorofluorocarbon molecules break apart in the atmosphere. HFO-1234YF. Description. HFO-1234YF, also called R1234YF, is a hydrofluoroolefin with the formula CH2 equals CFCF3 and is the refrigerant required to be used in all vehicles by the 2021 model year. It was approved by U.S. EPA in 2011 under the Significant New Alternative Policy for use in new model of vehicles. Since that date, some vehicle manufacturers are producing vehicles equipped with R1234YF, so check the underhood label. See Figure 63-17. Ozone depletion and global warming potential. R134A does not deplete the ozone layer, like R12, but is classified as a greenhouse gas and is believed to have the potential to cause climate change. The potential for climate change is assigned global warming potential factor based on how much impact it may have on the climate. Mandated, the United States EPA has banned the use of R134A after January 1, 2021, and requires all new vehicles sold in the U.S. to use R1234YF. R134A may be used for servicing existing vehicles equipped with R134A. R1234YF has operating characteristics similar to R134A. Flammability. R1234YF is mildly flammable. The American Society of Heating, Refrigerating and Air Conditioning Engineers have given it an A2L classification. As a result of the possibility of being ignited, the following precautions need to be adhered to when servicing an R1234YF system. Number 1. Do not smoke or have an open flame while working on or servicing a vehicle equipped with R1234YF. Number 2. Use tools and service equipment designed specifically for R1234YF. See Chart 63-1. Chart 63-1. Refrigerant fitting sizes must be unique for each type of refrigerant to help prevent cross-contamination. Number 3. If the evaporator is removed for any other service or replaced, it must be replaced with a new part meeting the SAE standard J2842. Using the robustly designed evaporator is one way that the occupants inside the vehicle are protected against the possibility of having the refrigerant escape into the passenger compartment in the event of a collision. Frequently asked question. Will R134A systems be required to be retrofitted to R1234YF? No. Currently there is no mandate to retrofit existing systems with R1234YF. If a vehicle came from the factory with R1234YF, then this refrigerant, of course, should be used when servicing the vehicle and requires a special machine. R134A is the primary refrigerant for most vehicles and there is no need or legal requirement to replace it with any other refrigerant at this time. Refer to Figure 63-17. Due to the cost of R1234YF, most shops will purchase 10 or 20 pound containers compared to the normal 30 pound container that most shops purchased for R134A. Refer to Chart 63-1. Refrigerant fitting sizes must be unique for each type of refrigerant to help prevent cross-contamination. Refer to Figure 63-18. POG oil used in Chrysler vehicles equipped with HFC-134A refrigerant. Notice that different oils are used for different systems, depending primarily on the manufacturer of the compressor. Also notice that both POG oils are in metal cans. POG oil absorbs moisture so readily that it can even absorb moisture that is in the air through plastic, that is why metal containers are used. Refrigerant oils. The oil carried by the refrigerant through the various components is often the only source of lubrication for the compressor. The oil used must be able to be mixed without separating in the refrigerant. This characteristic of being able to be mixed is called miscible. CFC-12 systems must use mineral oil. Mineral oil is not miscible in HFC-134a, and so such systems must use synthetic polyalkylene glycol, usually referred to as POG oil. There are numerous different POG oils, and each vehicle manufacturer, or air conditioning compressor manufacturer, recommends which POG to use. See Figure 63-18. Another type of refrigerant oil is called ester oil. Ester is a classification of hydrocarbons and is specified for use in air conditioning systems that have been charged, retrofitted, from CFC-12 to HFC-134A. Ester oil mixes with any remaining mineral oil and works to lubricate the system, even if some CFC-12 is still in the system. See Figure 63-19. All refrigerant oils have a viscosity rating. Viscosity is the measure of the oil's thickness or resistance to flow. Always use the type and viscosity of oil specified by the manufacturer. Caution: failure to use the correct refrigerant oil in an air conditioning system can cause serious, and expensive, damage to the air conditioning compressor. Always use the refrigerant oil specified by the manufacturer. Condenser. The condenser looks like a cooling system radiator. In fact, a condenser is a radiator because it is designed to radiate heat from the refrigerant to the outside air. When the refrigerant leaves the compressor, it is over 300 degrees Fahrenheit, or 150 degrees Celsius, as it enters the condenser. Even on a hot 100 degrees Fahrenheit, or 38 degrees Celsius, day, there is a difference in temperature between the outside air around the condenser and the temperature of the refrigerant inside the condenser. Heat always travels hot to cold. Therefore, the heat in the hot refrigerant has a natural tendency to radiate into the outside air. As the heat travels into the air, the high-pressure gas refrigerant changes state and becomes a high-pressure liquid. This is the reason the condenser is called by that name. As the heat leaves the refrigerant, it condenses from a gas, or vapor, to a liquid. See Figure 63-20. To help in the heat transfer, most vehicles are equipped with cooling fans driven, either electrically or by the engine, through an accessory drive belt. The fan draws air through the condenser and increases the heat transfer rate. Refer to Figure 63-19. Ester refrigerant oils are often specified for use when retrofitting an R12 system to R134A by companies who supply refit kits. Ester refrigerant oil is not recommended by many vehicle or air conditioning compressor manufacturers. Always use the recommended refrigerant oil for the vehicle and system being serviced. Evaporator. The evaporator looks like a small radiator that is located in the evaporator housing on the passenger side of the bulkhead, firewall. The purpose of the evaporator is to transfer heat from the air to the refrigerant flowing through it. Heat from the air causes the low-pressure liquid inside the evaporator to evaporate into a low-pressure gas. As the refrigerant changes state from a liquid to a gas, it absorbs heat. A blower motor equipped with a squirrel cage-type fan circulates air through the evaporator and forces the cooler air into the passenger compartment. Another benefit of the cooling of the air is a result of what happens to any moisture that may be in the air. Moisture in the air is called relative humidity and represents the percentage of water vapor that could be in the air to the actual amount in the air. High humidity feels uncomfortable. Because the evaporator is cold, usually just above the freezing point of 32 degrees Fahrenheit, or 0 degrees Celsius, any moisture in the air condenses on its cool surface. This removes the moisture from the air and lowers the relative humidity. The moisture that condenses out of the air then becomes water that is allowed to flow out of the evaporator housing and onto the ground. See Figure 63-22. Note: if the carpet, or floor, of the vehicle is wet on the passenger side, the cause is often a clogged evaporator drain hose. The opening, called the condensate line, is frequently clogged with mud, road debris, or leaves. To check the drain opening, hoist the vehicle and insert a wire or screwdriver into the end of the hose opening at the bottom of the evaporator housing. Refer to Figure 63-20. The condenser serves the same function for both the orifice tube and the expansion valve type air conditioning system, and that is to remove the heat from the refrigerant and cause the hot refrigerant vapors to condense into a hot liquid. Tech tip: broken condenser line, check the engine mounts. Most air conditioning systems use aluminum and flexible rubber lines between the compressor and the condenser. Because the compressor is mounted on and driven by the engine and the condenser is mounted to the body, these lines can break if the engine mounts are defective. The rubber hoses attached between the aluminum fittings of the compressor and condenser are designed to absorb normal engine movement. Worn engine mounts allow the engine to move too much. Aluminum lines cannot stand to be flexed without crushing and breaking. Therefore, the wise technician carefully inspects and replaces any and all worn engine mounts if a broken aluminum condenser line is discovered to prevent a premature failure of a replacement condenser. See Figure 63-21. Refer to Figure 63-21, a repaired condenser refrigerant line. Refer to Figure 63-22. The evaporator serves the same function for both the orifice tube and the expansion valve type air conditioning system, and that is to allow the liquid refrigerant to evaporate and absorb heat from the passenger compartment. Receiver dryer. A receiver dryer is used on an air conditioning system that uses an expansion valve. The receiver dryer is located between the condenser and the evaporator. This section of the air conditioning system contains high-pressure liquid refrigerant. The purpose of the receiver is to provide temporary storage for the liquid refrigerant, and it also usually includes a filter to trap debris and a desiccant to remove moisture. Many receiver dryers contain a sight glass that provides a view of the liquid refrigerant in the system. A dryer is needed to remove moisture from the system. The dryer contains a desiccant, usually silica lumina or silica gel. A desiccant is a drying agent that absorbs any moisture, water, that gets into the air conditioning refrigerant system. Moisture can combine with refrigerant to form an acid. Water can also freeze and form ice in the system. The desiccant is classified as XH5 for CFC12 systems and XH7 or XH9 for HFC134 systems. The desiccant used on a CFC12 system is not compatible with HFC134 systems. Therefore, whenever a system is changed, or retrofitted, from CFC12 to HFC134A, the desiccant must be replaced. The desiccant, accumulator or receiver dryer, should also be replaced on any air conditioning system that has been left open to the atmosphere for any length of time, over 24 hours, or whenever the system has been left in a discharged condition. See Figure 63-23. Refer to Figure 63-23. Expansion valve systems store excess refrigerant in a receiver dryer, which is located in the high side liquid section of the system, whereas orifice tube systems store excess refrigerant in an accumulator located in the low side vapor section of the system. Refer to Figure 63-24. A typical accumulator used on a cycling clutch orifice tube abbreviated, CCOT, system. Accumulator. An accumulator is used on systems that use an orifice tube. It is located between the evaporator and the compressor. The refrigerant in the section of the refrigerant cycle is a low-pressure gas. The purposes of the accumulator include: Number 1. Preventing liquid refrigerant from reaching the compressor. Note: a liquid cannot be compressed. If liquid refrigerant enters the compressor locks up and is damaged. Number 2. Holding a reserve of refrigerant. And Number 3. Holding the desiccant, helping to remove moisture from the system. See Figure 63-24. Refrigerant lines and hoses. Aluminum tubing is used to connect many stationary items together, like the condenser to the receiver dryer and the receiver dryer to the evaporator. Rubber lines are usually used to and from the compressor. Because the compressor is attached to the engine and the engine is mounted on flexible rubber mounts, there is movement between the compressor and the other air conditioning components that are attached to the body of the vehicle. These flexible refrigerant hoses are constructed from many layers of rubber and fabric. See Figure 63-25. Most hoses used on vehicles since the early 1990s use an impermeable inside layer of material that prevents the loss of refrigerant through the hose itself. These hoses, called barrier hoses, are required for use with HFC-134 refrigerant. Thermostatic expansion valves. Thermostatic expansion valve, abbreviated TXV systems, as shown in See Figure 63-26, use a temperature-sensitive bulb located on the evaporator outlet tube. The sensing bulb is insulated with a special tape, so it reacts only to temperature changes it senses from the outlet tube. The sensing bulb works in combination with a pressure-sensitive diaphragm inside the TXV body to control the size of the variable orifice. This regulates the rate at which liquid refrigerant flows into the evaporator. The key to the operation of the expansion valve is the variable orifice. In these systems, the outlet from the high-pressure side to the low-pressure side is a variable diameter hole. A pintle valve is a ball and seat valve used to increase or decrease the size of the opening. See Figure 63-27. The expansion valve uses the pintle valve to control how rapidly refrigerant enters the evaporator. The expansion valve controls the refrigerant flow in response to the temperature of the evaporator outlet, measured by the remotely mounted sensing bulb and capillary tube. See Figure 63-28. The sensing bulb may be clamped to the outlet pipe or mounted inside a passage near the outlet of the evaporator. The bulb and tube contain refrigerant. The rise or fall of the evaporator outlet temperature causes the refrigerant in the bulb to expand or contract, resulting in a rise or fall of pressure inside the capillary. This outlet temperature-sensitive pressure is applied to one side of the spring-loaded diaphragm inside the expansion valve. See Figure 63-29. As the capillary tube warms, the refrigerant inside expands, forcing the diaphragm downward. The diaphragm magnifies this pressure and uses it to open the valve by pushing the pintle bulb away from its seat. This increases the size of the orifice and allows more refrigerant into the evaporator, increasing the cooling capacity. When the evaporator cools in response to the boiling of the added refrigerant, the refrigerant in the capillary tube contracts. This relieves the pressure on the expansion valve diaphragm, which closes the pintle bulb, and reduces refrigerant flow. Pressure on the top of the diaphragm is applied through the capillary tube. The equalizing pressure on the underside of the diaphragm can be internal, from the evaporator inlet, or external, from the evaporator outlet. Number 1. An internally equalized expansion valve has a passage that permits evaporator inlet pressure to reach the underside of the diaphragm. Number 2. An externally equalized expansion valve has an extra line mounted to the underside of the diaphragm housing. This line monitors the outlet pressure of the evaporator. The connection can be either at the outlet of the evaporator or at the Figure 63-28. The sensing bulb is attached to the evaporator outlet of the evaporator pressure control device. In an expansion valve system, the refrigerant vapor that leaves the evaporator is warmer than the liquid refrigerant that entered it. The heat that warms the refrigerant is referred to as superheat. Superheat is usually measured as the actual temperature difference between the boiling point of the refrigerant at the inlet and at the outlet of the evaporator. Typical values for superheat in an evaporator are between 4 degrees Fahrenheit and 16 degrees Fahrenheit, or, minus 16 degrees Celsius and minus 9 degrees Celsius. Superheat is important because it ensures that all, or almost all, of the refrigerant vaporizes before leaving the evaporator. Chrysler uses a valve called an H-valve. It includes both the temperature sensing and pressure sensing functions of the expansion valve, but does not have any external tubes. The H-valve has two refrigerant passages that form the legs of the H, as shown in Figures 63-30 and 63-31. The lower passage is the refrigerant line from the condenser to the evaporator, and contains the ball and spring valve. The upper passage is the refrigerant line from the evaporator to the compressor, and contains the temperature sensing element. A pushrod connects the diaphragm of the temperature sensor located at the top of the block to the valve ball at the bottom. The cycling clutch switch, which senses the suction line, detects the evaporator outlet temperature and cycles the compressor clutch to control system cooling. This capillary device does not directly control the metering orifice. See Figure 63-32. Refer to Figure 63-25. Rigid lines and flexible hoses are used throughout the air conditioning system. The line to and from the compressor must be flexible because it is attached to the engine, which moves on its mounts during normal vehicle operation. Refer to Figure 63-26. A typical expansion valve, which uses an inlet and outlet attachment for the evaporator, and a temperature sensing bulb that is attached to the evaporator outlet tube. Refer to Figure 63-27. A slot cut in the ball seat inside the expansion valve permits a small amount of refrigerant and oil to pass through at all times, even when the valve is closed. This flow of oil through the system is necessary to make sure the compressor receives the oil it needs for lubrication. Refer to Figure 63-28. The sensing bulb is attached to the evaporator outlet tube. Refrigerant inside the bulb expands or contracts in response to the evaporator temperature. Refer to Figure 63-29. Pressure from the capillary tube pushes on the spring-loaded diaphragm to open the expansion valve. As the pressure in the capillary tube contracts, the reduced pressure on the diaphragm allows the valve to close. Refer to Figure 63-30. An H-valve, or H-block, combines the temperature sensing and pressure regulating functions into a single assembly. Refer to Figure 63-31. An H-valve is used on a Chrysler minivan. Refer to Figure 63-32. In this Chrysler system, a low-pressure cutoff switch and a cycling clutch switch are mounted on the H-valve. Refer to Figure 63-33. The orifice tube is usually located at the inlet tube to the evaporator. Fixed orifice tubes. Liquid refrigerant flows from the condenser to the orifice tube. As with expansion valves, fixed orifice tubes provide a restriction that separates the high pressure from the low pressure side of the system. See Figure 63-33. When it reaches the fixed orifice tube, the refrigerant undergoes rapid expansion and changes from a warm, high pressure liquid to a cold, low pressure liquid and vapor mixture. As it passes through the restriction to the low side, the refrigerant changes state from a liquid to a vapor because the pressure in the evaporator is so much lower than in the refrigerant line upstream from the orifice tube. The refrigerant begins to vaporize quickly as it absorbs the heat from the evaporator. The orifice tube, located between the condenser and the evaporator inlet, may be inserted in the refrigerant line or may be part of the inlet refrigerant line assembly. Refer to Figure 63-34. In a positive displacement compressor, the descending piston creates a drop in pressure inside the cylinder. The resulting pressure differential allows low side pressure to force the suction valve open. Refrigerant then flows into the cylinder. On the piston's discharge stroke, the pressure caused by the ascending piston closes the intake valve and forces the refrigerant out the discharge valve. Compressors. The air conditioning compressor is driven by the engine with an accessory drive belt. A magnetic clutch is usually used to connect and disconnect the drive pulley to the compressor as needed for cooling or defrosting. The compressor performs the following functions. Number 1. Compresses the low-pressure gas refrigerant from the evaporator into a high-pressure gas that is then sent to the condenser. Number 2. Raises the temperature of the gas so that there is a difference in temperature between the outside, or ambient, air and the refrigerant in the condenser. Number 3. Acts as the pump used to circulate the refrigerant throughout the system. Number 4. Often switches on and off, or cycles, to control evaporator temperatures. And number 5. Is the major reason why there is refrigerant oil in the system. The oil in the refrigerant lubricates the moving parts of the compressor. Positive displacement piston compressors. A positive displacement compressor displaces a constant, uniform volume of refrigerant for each revolution or operating cycle. Most automotive air conditioner compressors are positive displacement piston designs. These compressors have from 1 to 10 cylinders, depending on manufacturer and application. Most of these compressors use a piston and cylinder arrangement with intake and discharge strokes to draw in, compress, and discharge refrigerant. See Figure 63-34. The compressor intake stroke is also known as the suction stroke. The suction stroke of a positive displacement compressor is like that of a two-stroke gasoline engine. Just as the intake stroke of an engine's piston creates a low-pressure area that draws the air-fuel mixture in through the cylinder head, the suction stroke of the compressor piston creates a low-pressure area to draw refrigerant vapor into the cylinder. However, the similarity ends here. In a two-stroke engine, the compression stroke compresses the air-fuel mixture inside a sealed cylinder, with both the intake and exhaust valves closed. In the two-stroke piston AC compressor, the discharge valve does not resist the refrigerant flow during the upward piston stroke. As the compressor operates, the maximum possible charge of refrigerant vapor has been drawn in at bottom dead center of the compressor piston suction stroke. When the piston begins its discharge stroke, the pressure increases, shutting the suction valve and opening the discharge valve at the same time. The charge of refrigerant vapor is pushed out of the compressor into the high side refrigerant line and travels toward the condenser. Therefore, the refrigerant vapor is compressed simultaneously throughout the entire high side of the air conditioning system. All piston compressors use one suction valve and one discharge valve for each piston. The typical valve used in compressors is the reed valve, a one-way, flap-type check valve that is built into the valve plate that seals one or more cylinders. See Figure 63-35. A reed valve flaps away from the valve plate to open, and toward the valve plate to close. Pressure pushes the valve in one direction or the other. The suction reed valve is located on the underside of the valve plate. When the suction created by the piston's downward stroke becomes strong enough, the suction reed valve bends, or flaps, off its seat. Low-pressure refrigerant vapor then flows into the compressor. The refrigerant vapor fills the partial vacuum created by the moving piston. The discharge reed valve is on the top side of the valve plate. The partial vacuum in the cylinder also pulls the discharge valve tightly against its seat, sealing off the system's high side from the cylinder during the suction stroke. The reeds behave in exactly the opposite way during the piston's discharge stroke. The increasing cylinder pressure pushes the suction valve tightly against its seat, sealing off the system's low side. The discharge valve on the opposite side of the valve plate is unseated as the pressure in the cylinder increases as a result of the upward moving piston. The piston pushes the refrigerant through the discharge valve, out of the compressor, and into the air conditioning system high side. Refer to Figure 63-35. A reed valve is a one-way check valve that flaps away from the valve plate to open, and toward the valve plate to close. Pistons and rings. The basic two-stroke cycle depends upon the pistons and their sealing rings to provide an adequate seal against the high side refrigerant pressure. Most piston compressors have from 2 to 6 cylinders. Some compressors use a swash plate, or axial plate. This plate is rigidly mounted to the belt-driven shaft at an angle. See Figure 63-36. The pistons may be on one or both sides of the plate. The pistons are connected to the swash plate by means of a large ball bearing. As the pulley turns, the shaft and angled swash plate assembly rotate. This forces the pistons back and forth in their bores. In this way, the swash plate changes the rotating action of the shaft to a reciprocating action that provides driving force for each piston. Compressors that use a swash plate are often called axial compressors. Tech tip: the radio pop trick. Most air conditioning compressor clutch circuits contain a diode that is used to suppress the high voltage spike that is generated whenever the compressor clutch coil is disengaged, or turned off. If this diode were to fail, a high voltage, up to 400 volts, could damage sensitive electronic components in the vehicle, including the electronic air conditioning compressor clutch control unit, if so equipped. Another thing that can occur is that the radio often turns off and then back on whenever the electronics inside the radio detect a high voltage spike. This can create a pop in the radio that is very intermittent because it only occurs when the air conditioning compressor clutch cycles off. To check this diode, simply tune the radio to a weak AM station near 1400 Hz and cycle the air conditioning compressor on and off. If a pop is heard from the radio speakers, then the diode is defective and must be replaced. Note: while some AC compressor diodes can be replaced separately, some of these air conditioning compressor clutch diodes are part of an entire wiring harness assembly. Variable displacement compressor. Some air conditioning systems use variable displacement to control the amount of refrigerant flowing through the evaporator. The pressure difference between the high side and the low side causes the swash plate to move inside the compressor. As the swash plate changes its angle, the stroke of the piston is increased for more cooling or decreased to reduce the amount of cooling. See Figure 63-37. Refer to Figure 63-36. The swash plate, attached to the crankshaft at an angle, converts the pulley's rotary motion to axial motion, which drives the pistons in a reciprocating motion. Compressor controls. Most air conditioning compressors use an electromagnetic clutch. A coil of wire inside the clutch creates a strong magnetic field that, when activated, connects the input shaft of the compressor to the drive pulley. Most electromagnetic coil assemblies have between 3 and 4 ohms of resistance. According to Ohm's law, about 3 to 4 amperes of current are required to energize the air conditioning compressor clutch. All electrical circuits require three things to operate. Number 1. A voltage source. Number 2. An electrical load, the air conditioning compressor clutch. And number 3. A ground connection. All three of these must be in sync before current, amperes, can flow, causing the compressor clutch to engage. Most vehicle manufacturers connect several components in series with the compressor clutch so that all have to be functioning before the compressor clutch can be engaged. The most commonly used switches include: low pressure switch. This pressure switch is electrically closed only if there is at least 25 psi of refrigerant pressure. This amount of pressure means that the system is sufficiently charged to provide lubrication for the compressor. This switch also prevents the air conditioning compressor from being engaged when the temperature is low, or low temperature means low refrigerant pressures. See Figure 63-38. High pressure switch. This pressure switch is located in the high pressure side of the air conditioning system. If the pressure exceeds a certain level, typically 375 psi, or 2600 kilopascals, the pressure switch opens, thereby preventing possible damage to the air conditioning system due to excessively high pressure. Power steering pressure switch. This switch is used on many vehicles, especially those with four-cylinder engines. It opens the circuit to the air conditioning compressor clutch when the driver turns the steering wheel. This reduces the load on the engine at the same time power is needed by the power steering pump. Because the wheel is seldom held in a turning maneuver for a long period of time, this stoppage of the air conditioning compressor has little, if any, effect on passenger cooling. Refer to Figure 63-37. AV5 variable displacement compressor. Internal pressures act on the swash plate, which changes the stroke of the piston and then displacement based on the pressures in the system. Case study. What throttle switch? A service technician was tracing the cause of an inoperative air compressor on a Saab. The service manual showed a schematic of the air conditioning compressor that indicated a number of switches that had to be closed for the compressor clutch to be supplied with battery voltage. Besides the low pressure switch, to assure that the system is charged so as not to damage the compressor, a throttle switch was shown on the schematic. Obviously, someone else had worked on the vehicle because the throttle switch was missing entirely. Just two wires remained to indicate that anything had been installed. Connecting the two wires together provided voltage to the air conditioning compressor clutch. The customer decided not to replace the throttle switch after learning that its purpose was to disconnect, or open circuit, the air conditioning compressor when the throttle was at wide open positive to allow the maximum power for passing. The summary. The complaint: the air conditioning system was inoperative. The cause: the throttle switch was missing and the wiring, being opened, prevented the compressor from operating. The correction: the wiring was connected to restore the operation of the AC compressor. Refer to Figure 63-38. Typical air conditioning pressure switches. A service manual is needed to determine the function of each switch. One switch could be the low pressure switch and the other a high pressure switch. Review questions. Question 1. Discuss how the air conditioning system removes moisture from the air. Question 2. Describe the operation of the typical automotive air conditioning system. Question 3. Explain why a desiccant is needed in automotive air conditioning systems. Question 4. List 3 methods used to prevent the evaporator from becoming too cold and freezing. Question 5. What is the purpose and function of the low pressure and high pressure switches? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Technician A says that heat is measured in degrees. Technician B says that temperature is measured in degrees. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 2. Hot coolant is circulated through the what to warm the vehicle interior? A. Evaporator. B. Heater core. C. Core thermistor. D. Defroster core. Question 3. Where in the air conditioning system is the refrigerant a low pressure gas? A. Condenser outlet. B. Evaporator inlet. C. Evaporator outlet. D. Condenser inlet. Question 4. Where in the air conditioning system is the refrigerant a high pressure liquid? A. Condenser outlet. B. Evaporator inlet. C. Evaporator outlet. D. Condenser inlet. Question 5. The compressor operates continuously with which type of system controls? A. Orifice tube. B. POA system. C. EPR system. D. Both B and C. Question 6. Technician A says that all HFC-134A uses the same refrigerant oil. Technician B says that refrigerant oil, regardless of type, must be kept in a sealed container to keep it from absorbing moisture from the air. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. A thermal expansion valve has a what type of orifice, whereas an orifice tube uses a what type of orifice to control refrigerant flow? A. Digital and analog. B. Drain and fill. C. Open and closed. D. Variable and fixed. Question 8. Water is observed dripping out from beneath the evaporator. Technician A says that is normal. Technician B says that the evaporator housing is defective and should be replaced. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 9. The material used to absorb moisture from inside the air conditioning system is called A. Dryer. B. Desiccant. C. Ester. D. Pug. Question 10. R1234YF refrigerant is slightly flammable, Because of this, if the evaporator is damaged, it must be replaced with a what type of evaporator? A. New. B. New or used. C. Rebuilt. D. Upgraded. End of chapter 63.